Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, the process of creation, text 20. Shriya Patir Jagya Patihi Praja Patir Dhiyam Patir Loka Patir धरा पतिहि पतिर गतिस चांधक वृष्णि शास्ततां प्रसीदतां मे भगवान सतां पतिहि श्रिया पतिर जग पति प्रजापति धियां पतिर लोक पतिर धरापति पतिर गतिश्चांधक वृष्णि सततां प्रसीदतां मे भगवान् सतां पतिः Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andhaka and Vishnu of the Jodhi dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation of the earth, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Please repeat after me. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings, like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Jadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Maybe somebody can read the purport.
मुखं करोति वाचालं पुंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे
A very long purport Srila Prabhupada wrote on this verse. From that you can understand that how important this verse is. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out that Krishna is the husband of Lakshmi Devi. There are innumerable Lakshmi, and the expansion of Vaikuntha Lakshmi in this world are the controllers of all the wealth of this world. And there's, just as there is one Brahma in this universe, or one Shiva, similarly there is one Lakshmi in this universe, taking care of a specific department. And what department does she take care of? That means she is in charge of wealth. So, whenever somebody wants wealth in the material nature, he can please Lakshmi Devi, and as a result of that he can get a lot of work. Now this one such Lakshmi is controlling the wealth of one universe. And this Lakshmi is an expansion of Vaikuntha Lakshmi. Just as Shiva, Sambhu, is an expansion of Sadashiv, similarly, Lakshmi is an expansion of Mahalakshmi. This Lakshmi in the material nature is a demigoddess. She can be considered to be a demigoddess. Because the demigods are in charge of different departments of this material nature. And she is in charge of the wealth department. So, we can well imagine how opulent Lakshmi Devi is. And in Vrindavan, thousands and millions of such Lakshmis are actually worshipping Krishna's lotus feet, serving Krishna's lotus feet with great awe and reverence. Lakshmi Shata Sahasra Sambhrama Sevyamana. The millions of Lakshmis, very Sambhrama Sevyamana. Sambhram means respect or reverence. Sevyamana are worshipping, rendering service. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambhrama Sevyamana. So in this way, Krishna, we can well imagine how opulent Krishna is. One Lakshmi actually can give any amount of wealth. So the person who is giving that kind of wealth, we can well imagine how much wealth she herself has. And thousands of such Lakshmi are actually serving Krishna in Vrindavan. This is from Brahma Samhita. Also, as we recited the last verse, that also describes Lakshmi Devi in Vrindavan. It's Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Parava. Shriya means Lakshmi. Kanta are the gopis. The gopis in Vrindavan are actually Lakshmi. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha. And they all are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Parama Purusha, Kalpataruva. So in this way, Krishna is the supreme opulent person. And it is by Krishna's mercy that one can actually become elevated to that spiritual platform. So in this verse, Krishna has been glorified that he is the pati of everything practically. Pati means the Lord, Master, Husband. Different connotations this word has. Pati may mean Lord, pati may mean Master, pati may mean proprietor, pati may mean leader, and generally pati means husband. Pati is husband and patni is wife. Pati, patni, husband and wife. So, Krishna is the pati. We can see how many Shriya pati. Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. Jagapati. Krishna is the enjoyer of sacrifice. Prajapati. Krishna is the leader of mankind, or leader of all created beings. Dhyapati, Krishna is the Lord of intelligence. Lokapati, Krishna is the proprietor of all planets. Then, Dharapati. Dhara means earth. Dhara or Dharitri. Vasundhara. Earth has many names in Sanskrit. Vasuti dashana shikhare dharani tava lagna.
the description of Varahadev, the earth was lying on his task. When the earth fell onto the lower planetary system, Krishna as Varaha incarnation, as a boar, picked up the earth from the lower planetary system. And at that time, it has been described that Bhashoti Dashanu Shikhare Dharani Tavalagya. The earth was lying on the task of Varahadev. So Dharani or Dhara is the name of earth planet. So Dharapati means the leader of the earth planet. The supreme proprietor of the earth planet. Then Patir Gati, he is the lord of everything and he is the destination. He is the ultimate destination. He is the lord and the ultimate destination of Andhaka, Vrishni, Shatatam. These are the names of the Jadu dynasty. Andhaka was one of the kings of Jadu. Vrishni was the first king of the Jadu dynasty. In this way, in India, the royal families were named after the original personality or the famous ones in the family. For example, here you can see Andhaka, Vrishni. They are actually Jadu dynasty, but these are some very famous kings of the Jadu dynasty. So, and Shaktatang means the Jadu. They are situated in Siddha Sattva, in pure goodness. Therefore, they are known as Shaktatang. Shaktata means good, mode of goodness. And from the word Sattva, this word Shaktata has been derived. Like from the word Sattva, Guna, mode of goodness, Sattvik, the word Sattvik has been derived. So these are all the derivatives of the word sattva, which means the mode of goodness. Sattva, sattvic, vishuddha, sattva, sattatang, etc. So he is the Jadus are situated in the mode of goodness, pure goodness, not ordinary material mode of goodness, spiritual mode of goodness. Sattatang pati prasidatang me bhagavan. My Lord, be merciful. My Lord, you are the Lord of the devotees. You are the worshipable Lord of all devotees. So please be merciful unto me. So this is how he is praying. So Prabhupada is saying here about Sukadeva Goswami, that he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasa Leela just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency in degraded sex enjoyment. Prabhupada, then he's saying that Krishna's activities with the gopis or Krishna's activities with Lakshmi, the queens of Dwarka, are not mundane activities. Actually, they all are spiritual activities. And in the mundane platform, those activities have become reflected. In the material platform, we are simply seeing the reflection of those activities. And that reflection is sex life. But actually in the spiritual platform, there is no sex. It is only pure love between Krishna and his devotees. So, Prabhupada is pointing out that Sukadeva Goswami was a celibate right from his birth. He was so pure that just after his birth, he left home. First of all, he didn't want to come out of his mother's womb. He stayed in his mother's womb for 16 years. And then as soon as he came out of his mother's womb, he simply walked away from his house. And when he was walking away, Vasudev, his father, became very disappointed that he felt, my son is leaving home without even going through the purificatory process of initiation or brahmana. It is called anyway, so it's some form of initiation ceremony. The shamashkar, the one kind of shamashkar, upanayan shamashkar. Yeah, it's called upanayan shamashkar. So through that, one actually is taken to the spiritual master, or one approaches the spiritual master for spiritual knowledge. Actually, spiritual knowledge is beyond our sense perception. Therefore, with our senses or with our mind or with our intelligence, we cannot actually receive this transcendental knowledge of spiritual knowledge. The spiritual knowledge must be received through a spiritual process. And that process actually begins with initiation. So that is a very important samskar or purificatory activity for a living entity. So Vasudeva was very disappointed that his son was leaving home even without going through the purificatory process. So he was walking, or when Sukadeva Goswami was walking away, Vasudeva followed him, calling out his name. But Sukadeva Goswami was completely unperturbed. Vasudeva was crying out, my son, please come back, don't go away. But Sukadeva Goswami did not paying heed to his father's calling. He just kept on walking away, completely unconcerned. And Vasudeva followed him. So while Sukadeva Goswami was walking away, he came to a lake, and the celestial damsels were taking their bath. And when they saw, at that time Sukadeva Goswami was only 16 years old and he was not wearing anything. But when he walked away, when he was walking away, the girls did not feel any shame or embarrassment. But when Vasudeva came, they actually immediately came out of the water and put on their clothes, covered themselves. So Vasudeva asked them, I'm an old man, but you got embarrassed when I came, whereas when my son, who was 16 years old, who is 16 years old and who was naked, is a fully grown young man, you didn't feel any shame. Then the girls actually told that when Sukadeva Goswami passed by, they did not feel any agitation of mind, whereas they did when Vasudeva came. That's why they acted in such a way. So from that we can understand the position, elevated position of Sukadeva Goswami. He was situated in Brahma-Bhuta platform. He was situated on a platform beyond duality. Therefore, the girls did not, young girls, did not feel any disturbance in mind. And all his life, Sukadeva Goswami was a very, very devout, celibate brahmachari. Now, why such a person like Sukadeva Goswami, who is a Naishtiki Brahmachari, who is a devout celibate all his life,
would describe Radha Krishna's pastime. If it was a mundane relationship between a man and a woman. So this is an argument that Prabhupada has presented here. That if Radha Krishna's love affairs were like mundane loving exchange between a man and a woman, then why would a brahmachari like Sukada Goswami describe that in such great length? We have seen, like, even devotees, those who are at a very, very neophyte stage of brahmachari life, they do not want to even look at a man and a woman intimately dealing with each other. So why Sukadeva Goswami, who is such an advanced devotee, is describing Radha Krishna's pastime? So from that, this is a clear proof that Radha Krishna's pastimes has nothing to do with material nature. On the other hand, the material relationship between a man and a woman is a perverted reflection of Radha Krishna's spiritual relationship. And just as in a reflection, the highest thing appears to be the lowest, because the reflection is perverted, reflection is upside down. The top of the tree in a reflection appears to be the bottom, or is the lowest. Similarly, this highest loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees. In the material nature, the reflection is considered to be the lowest. The relationship between Krishna and his devotees, when that relationship is imitated by a man, by mundane living entities, that is the most degraded activity. That's the most abominable activity. So, the devotees are aware of that fact. That's why we are seeing that devotees are abstaining from any such relationship. But they are actually worshipping Radha and Krishna. The supreme, they are trying to transcend the platform of duality of man and woman. And they are trying to overcome these basic urges of nature. But at the same time, they are worshipping the supreme, they are worshipping a male and a female. It's kind of paradoxical. But actually it is because they are worshipping the supreme male and the supreme female. Supreme male is Krishna and the supreme female is Radha. And by developing their love for Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they can very easily overcome their gross material desires. This material nature is actually a prison house of sex desire. Like everyone, just as the criminal in a prison is tied up with a chain. Similarly, living entities in this material nature are tied up with sex desire. That's why in Sanskrit another name of this, name for this material nature is Maithun Agaro. Maithun means sex life and Agaro means prison. It's the prison house of sex desire. But if one wants to get out of this material nature, he must become free from this gross physical desire. Now how does one become free? By developing loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme loving object. Actually we all love Krishna. In everyone's heart there is a very strong and spontaneous propensity to love.
But when one forgets Krishna, then he doesn't realize where he'll have to impose his love. Actually, the love is meant for Krishna, but now Krishna is not there. So where should he offer the love? So in the material nature, living entities are searching around everywhere to impose his love onto something. But no matter wherever he imposes his love, no matter wherever he offers his love, he never becomes satisfied. And in the material nature, the ultimate of such loving quest is the love for opposite sex. A man is trying to love a woman and a woman is trying to love a man. But that love never becomes successful. No love in this material nature is successful. Every love in this material nature ends in a tragedy. Everyone, of course, although the authors and writers and poets have romanticized the love to a great extent and make it appear like the perfect love, there's so many love stories. There's no dearth of love stories, but they're only stories. In reality, if there's no love, there's only hatred and frustration. I wonder what would have happened if Romeo and Juliet lived up to 75 years. Probably they would have been fighting with each other like cats and dogs. And that's what exactly happened. The biggest romance ends in worst fight. And this is the material nature. The more one expects, the greater is the degree of disappointment. Just like with greater speed you bang against something, what do you get? You get hurt. So more you try to get something in this material nature, and the more is the speed or intensity with which you desire it, the greater will be the pain. Because you are actually, in the material nature, you are banging your head against something. The reflection is there, but the reality is not in the reflection. There's a mirror. And in the mirror you are seeing the reflection. And you want that. So as soon as you see that, you want it. And you charge towards the mirror. But can you get that stuff out of the mirror? What do you get? You simply get a collision, a big thud, and all you get is bashed up head. Therefore, an intelligent man would not aspire to get anything in the material nature. He knows that in this material nature everything will end. Everything is illusory. Everything is like a mirage. If you are very thirsty and you are seeing a mirage in the middle of a desert, will you ever be able to quench your thirst running after the mirage? Never. On the other hand, the more you run after the mirage, the more the mirage will run away from you. And that's what the material nature is. Poor man wants to be a rich man, and a rich man wants to be the king. So that is, they're always running after. No one is satisfied with the present state of existence. When you have 100 rands in your pocket, you want 1,000. When you have 1,000, then you want 1,000,000. And this is how it keeps on increasing. And you're never satisfied. Because the craving is illusory. But actually, although we are running after the illusory object, but actually, the craving is there and the craving is real. And this craving, the heart's spontaneous craving to become united with Krishna, is the real desire that a living entity has. And this desire to become united with Krishna is called love. In Sanskrit,
supreme.
Synonymous. The Sanskrit word for love is prem. And there is another word which is used called kam. Kam, in English, it can be translated as lust. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tareboli Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prem. Desire to gratify our senses is lust. But the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called love. So in this material nature, what goes on in the name of love is nothing but love, lust. In the material nature, there is no love. It's only lust. One is trying to exploit other for his sense gratification. That is the law of material nature. But this lust is actually a perverted reflection of love. And love is for Krishna. Love is for Krishna. And lust is for everybody. One body is craving for another body. That is love. So when one realizes that, it is not a crime to love. Actually, love is the most divine emotion. But we must know where this love should be imposed. This love should be imposed onto Krishna. Krishna is the only object of love. And when we develop our love for Krishna, then automatically we become free from lust. Then when we see different objects in the material nature that we have been craving at one time, we simply look at them in relation to Krishna. That, oh, there is such a beautiful flower. So let me offer it to Krishna. There is such a beautiful fruit. Let me offer it to Krishna. Similarly, wherever we see something beautiful, we simply want to offer it to Krishna. And then Prabhupada is pointing out that ultimately Krishna is the supreme husband. He is the husband. Every woman is actually Krishna's wife. Everyone is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And this is the mood of a devotee. Devotee doesn't reject anything. Devotee accepts everything. But he offers everything to Krishna. Just as he offers a beautiful flower, delicious fruit, some delicious foodstuff to Krishna. Similarly, he also offers the living entities. And that is the duty, that is the business of a spiritual master. He attracts the living entities and offers them to Krishna. And and that is the perfection of life of a human being. That is the perfection of our existence. To be able to offer everything to Krishna. There is nothing that he holds for himself. A man, a devotee, never holds anything for himself. He accepts on behalf of Krishna and then he offers them to Krishna. And this is what has been expressed here. Prasida, my Lord, you are the Lord of everything. So you be merciful unto us. You be compassionate. You be benevolent towards me. And how can we invoke his mercy? By offering everything to him. Recognizing that everything belongs to him. Isha Vashram belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. So when we recognize that everything belongs to Krishna, must be offered to Krishna. And then the Lord automatically becomes pleased with us. Just like a father, when he sees that his little son offers him, no matter how insignificant that offering
father becomes very, very pleased. Although the son actually got everything from the father. The son doesn't have, little child doesn't have anything of his own. The father gave him a candy bar. And he gives the candy bar back to the father. Father, you take it. Then how does the father feel? Father feels tremendous surge of emotion in his heart. That, oh, my little child is so nice. He's just offering it. This little, whatever he considers to be precious to him, he offers it to him. Whatever he likes himself, he offers it to him. Similarly, Krishna becomes pleased with us when we offer something to him. Krishna, nothing is mine. Everything is yours. Please accept it. Even I am not mine. I am yours. So please accept me. So that is the mood of a devotee, and that is called sharanagati, surrender. Manusho deho geho, jo kichu mor, orpilu tua pade, nanda kisho. Manusho, my mind, deho, my body, geho, my home, jo kichu mor, whatever I have, orpilu tua pade, nanda kisho. I am offering them all to you, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Shampade vipade jivane marone dai mamo gela tua o pada varane. Whether I am in happiness or in distress, whether I am in wealth or poverty, whether I am alive or dead, now that I have offered myself, my everything to you, Krishna, my responsibility has been fulfilled. I do not have any more responsibility. Now everything has been offered to you, and now you are responsible for everything. I am not responsible for myself anymore. You are responsible. And that's why devotees are so relax. I remember when I, for the first time in my life, I realized what peace was. When I decided to join ISKCON. When I decided to offer myself to Srila Prabhupada after reading his book. I just made up my mind. Okay, I will surrender. And I had a tremendous sense of peace inside. That from now on I don't have to worry about anything. No more struggle. I do not have to become anything. I do not have to struggle to do anything. Now everything is Krishna. He will take care of me. I am offering myself to him and he will take care of me. I do not have to worry about anything. So in this way, just by surrendering ourselves to Krishna, we can become free from all anxiety. That's why in the spiritual sky there is no anxiety, because no one is worrying about himself. And they know, everyone knows that Krishna is the supreme controller, and he will take care of everyone.